This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Well, good morning to you. Joe DeCamera and John Ritchie, 94 WIP. All right, who should lead off for the Phils? Sounds like it might be both Schwarber and Trey, depending on, you know, who the pitcher is.
Everybody leads off.
Everybody hits. All right, let us know what you think. By the way, one not fun thing I want to pass along is condolences, because we lost one of our great callers last week, and that is Jabbo in Horsham.
Aww.
You may remember the name Jabbo in Horsham.
Oh, yeah.
Called our show, called the station for many, 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 many years. It was actually in the obituary, the write-up that he loved calling sports radio, loved calling WIP. So we appreciate Jabbo, obviously, all the years calling us, and you know, he seemed like a really good guy. So just condolences to his family. If you know the family, please pass along to the family that we certainly send our condolences to. We don't know the family personally, but... if you can let them know, we appreciate it, Jabbo, and we wish the family all the best, obviously, in this time of sorrow. All right, 215-592-9494. Hey, one thing that is, like, getting outrageous, and so many people aren't paying attention, you may not know how gnarly the numbers are. John, the Sixers and Flyers, like, never win. And I know we're rooting against the Sixers at this point, at least many people are, for the purpose of ping pong balls, but let's not act like what they're doing is an accomplishment, okay? Here are the basics. The Flyers, if you remember, in early March, really did have a shot at a playoff spot. I had just started getting excited about it. They were at one point only 4 points behind a playoff spot with like 20, 25 games to go. They are now, since March 4th, 1-10, okay? 1-10. And the Sixers... since February 5th, are 3-19. That's hard to do, man.
Even if you're trying.
That is like, guys, I know we've been on a Super Bowl high, and I know there's some people like, I'm in wait-and-see mode on the Phils. I would encourage you to get encouraged about the Phillies, because they ain't the Sixers, they ain't the Flyers. Guys, one team's 3-19, the other team's 1-10. Phillies, in my opinion, can't get here fast enough, and fortunately, it's only 3 days away. John, it's astounding how bad these teams are.
But it's good how bad they are. Like that, we want the Sixers to lose. When the Sixers get close to winning, which does seem to happen with frequency.
But let me just say this. It's not.
Why does it always get dicey?
Yeah, it's not good that the Sixers are this bad. Like, you know what I'm saying?
No.
Like, yes, it's good for the purpose of the ping pong balls.
Right.
But guys, they were supposed to be in a title hunt. a title on it.
They haven't given us an update on what Joel Embiid is,
no.
Like what's happening.
No, they've gone quiet on that.
Is there a procedure?
You're
right. I mean, what is going on?
Yeah, Rhea, great point.
I'm shocked. They're usually so, you know, honest with us and tell us everything going on, you know.
All right, let's go to the phone. So, Sixers and Flyers, you want to take a bite out of them, please do. And also, obviously, the Phillies. Who should lead off? So, let's play the audio of Rob Thompson from over the weekend. Topper talking about he might actually use both, and I don't think it's crazy talk. Here's Rob Thompson.
I know the question everybody's asked all spring is your lineup. What will it look like come Thursday? Is today a pretty good preview, or is that just reading too much into it?
Well, we're going to go with Trey leading off tomorrow. So, we're still fighting through it. And I'm thinking about, you know, maybe against a... a left-handed starter, it's Trey leading off. Right-hand starter, it's Schwarber leading off. But I'm not quite there yet. But the nine guys you see today are going to be in the lineup on opening day.
Right, so that was Topper yesterday. If he settles there, I'm fine with it. John's fine with it. James and Rhea don't like it. Tell us where you stand on the concept of not one but two leadoff hitters, obviously depending on who the opposing pitcher is. Let's get to Patrick in Tabernacle. What's going on, Patrick?
Hey, morning. Listen, I wasn't going to say anything about the Flyers, but Joe, listen, the disappointment just keeps piling up.
Yeah, it's brutal.
And listen, Jonesy's on the clock. I've said this, and we're friends with him and stuff, but I'm coming at the Flyers hard next year, man, because this is enough, man.
Got to win. Got to win next year. Got to make the playoffs.
Exactly.
Look, we love Jonesy. You can't just constantly rebuild. Nope. Now, I will say this, Patrick. It does seem like the Chuck Fletcher thing left them in even worse shape than we thought. I mean, there's very little that's come up that's, you know, I mean, there's some, don't get me wrong. But it's not like they're barn burners with limited exceptions. Obviously, the drafting situation was bad. The cap situation was bad. So I get that there is a lot of coming out of a hole to do. With that said,
it's time.
Well, it's time.
We're in goalie hell again, guys.
Well, Carter Hart screwed them. I mean, let's just be candid.
No one could foresee that.
Yeah, you couldn't. I mean, that was outrageous, and they lost, you know, maybe their best player, certainly one of their better players, one of their better young players, and so that really set them back a lot.
Yep, but anyhow, listen, it got me fired up because, you know, I told Seltzer, I shut up a long time ago on calling in with my family. It was, Kyle Schwarber's not a leadoff hitter, and Trey Turner is, and I'm glad it's brought up again, and I'm glad that you got me fired up pointing out how bad the Flyers are, because enough's enough, man.
Yeah.
Like,
let me ask you a question about Schwarber. You said he's not a leadoff hitter.
No, he's not, Joe.
He
would never hit leadoff in my lineup.
He consistently has the second highest on-base percentage on the
then
team.
Put people, Joe, I don't care. I just don't. I don't care.
But last season he improved in all the areas he needed to improve in to lead off and do a better job.
I just don't care.
Patrick, how about this one? How about that the pitchers don't bat nine anymore? So he does follow a regular hitter.
We have a DH,
most times.
And I know and I know that changes it, but I'm done. I shut up about it, and I thought that I did a good job shutting up about it because I'm not good at shutting up.
Not anymore.
So you guys, listen, it's your guys' fault, Rhea. You guys made me open up my big mouth. You know what I mean? My wife tells me last night, I think you just be quiet. Just start.
Are you sure, Patrick, you're not? Because I do this. I want to be clear. I do this. Are you sure this isn't one of those instances where you're just stuck in?
No.
It's the way it's always been, so it should be that way moving forward.
Well, no, Joe, it just, to me, it's not.
I mean,
that.
Because Patrick,
I can't believe you can identify this from the outside looking in, yet you fall prey to it consistently.
Because, Patrick, here's the thing, my man. Trey struggles more against right-handed hitters, and I'm down with him being the leadoff guy against lefties, but if you're saying Trey should be the leadoff hitter because he's fast, well, he's got to get on base more to justify that 162 times.
But didn't Topper say that they were hoping he would change his approach if he let off?
Yeah.
Experiment went away quickly?
Well, I mean, maybe there's something to be said for that. Maybe not. The basic thing is the guy has to play better. Got to hit better. Got to have a better approach, whether he's freaking one or two. Right?
Well, that's the problem with the leadoff is Turner's. Turner's the problem with being a leadoff batter, but given the choice, I don't want a big slugger, a slow slugging guy leading off.
Okay, Patrick, give me an answer. A great scene with a vehicle.
And John Rich, I love you, man, but dude, every time you answer Star Wars question, I picture you being like this little geeky kid that I could just like stuff into a locker. And I know that's not the case.
Wow.
Yeah.
John Ritchie getting stuffed in the locker.
Yeah, I'm sorry, dude. But listen, how about you're going to need a bigger boat? And I checked with Seltzer. A boat is a vehicle.
Yeah, a boat's a vehicle. Yeah, that works. You're going to need it. Yeah, sure. Yeah, that's a big answer.
That's a really good answer.
Yeah, I like that. Well, in the days of my youth, the Flyers were typically good, and the NCAA tournament was always fun. Now, not so much. Good morning to you. Jonah Cameron, John Ritchie. All right, a lot today on the leadoff spot. Who should lead off for the Phils? Also, I want to throw an Eagles thing in the mix. John, a cool nugget from Daniel Jeremiah the other day. So he covers the NFL. And he had something in one of his stories that it was a concept I had not previously heard. And it sounds like a wise course of action that the Eagles are utilizing. Because you got to find any little competitive advantage you can. I mean, you know, all the teams got same cap space. And, you know, obviously the Eagles were tight on cap space and they lost a lot of players and they brought some in, lesser players, but some of these guys on 1 year deals. So Daniel Jeremiah said the following recently. He said, I was talking to a coach about certain teams and organizations, the Eagles being one of them. And this is a great point he brought up. If you're going to go to one of those 1 year prove it deals, he was like, this is a coach, NFL coach said to Jeremiah, if you're going to do a 1 year prove it deal, this is the coach said, quote, do you want to go to a 1 o'clock Sunday team? He says, this is back to Jeremiah. He says, I won't throw the team he mentioned under the bus, but it was an NFC South team. Like, you going to go play every Sunday at 1? Or,
I love that he said it's 1 of 4. right.
And they all apply, by the way. They're all like, oh, one of them. Or you can go to, and this is back to the coach speaking, or you can go to a team like the Eagles. Be on the national stage. You're in the 4 o'clock window. You're playing Sunday night, Monday night, big stages, big games. Everybody's watching. Everybody's paying attention. You're 7 sacks. And I thought of the Giants guy. The Eagles got the Giants guy when this comment came in.
I can't wait to see how long you call him the Giants guy.
Your 7 sacks you get with the Philadelphia Eagles can end up being more valuable than the 7 sacks you might get in the NFC South, is what he was mentioning. I don't know if a lot of people think like that, but this is Jeremiah, but I'm telling you, that message is being sent to players to try to entice them on these short-term deals.
Sent by the Eagles?
Yeah.
Or sent by
Aiden? Well,
I would assume the Eagles,
because if it's enticement, it's got to be the Eagles.
So did the Eagles have a lot of 1 o'clock games last year?
I'm sorry, what'd you say, Ray?
Did the Eagles have more 1 o'clock games than
they usually
did?
Well, they're coming off the Super Bowl, so they'll be less.
Yeah,
that's
less yeah. And typically, the Eagles are going to have more primetime games than, like, you know, Carolina.
Of course.
The Bucs, the Saints.
Our organization is in that top tier.
Yeah, they are.
We are going to get those games.
Yeah, so I thought it was a cool point.
Games.
Cool
yes.
point.
And guys really do weigh that differently. Guys really do weigh a Monday nighter, a Sunday nighter, when you are the only game going on. The big stars, they care.
And the lesser players to try to become a big star.
Look at Zach Bond.
Well, also the playoffs matter. I mean, Milt Williams, by having that Josh Sweat, Super Bowl performance, got them more money, without a doubt.
James, without a doubt.
100%.
All right, let's go to the phone. So I thought that was pretty cool to throw in the mix. But the big thing today, we're talking a lot about who should lead off for the Phils. We had a poll about three weeks ago. By far, most people in our poll wanted Trey Turner to lead off. I've wanted Schwarber the whole time. Now Rob Thompson's saying, might use them both. I think he is going to use them both. I don't think he would have said what he said yesterday if he wasn't intending to use them both. I think it sounds smart. Trey Turner hits lefties really good. Doesn't hit righties quite as well. So I think it's wise. James, give me the counter argument why you think if Topper does this, it's a mistake.
Yeah, just pick a lineup and stick with it. We've had so many issues with this lineup the last few years about moving guys in and out, about hitting at the right time and all that. Like, have an approach and stick with it. These guys, like it or not, are creatures of habit. And at over 162, you need a routine. You need a lineup. You need to know where you're at, especially leading off. And I do think it'll change approaches. Like Trey Turner, I think he'll approach at bats differently. And you don't want Trey, someone who has struggled so much with approach since he's been here, being like, all right, so is it my leadoff approach today? Or is it my two approach? Which am I doing? Okay, so take more. Like, just let the guy lead off and take pitches.
Can I answer that, by the way? When it's the leadoff days, it's the leadoff
approach.
Yeah, so
good. Flop back and forth.
And
it's worked great. It's worked great so far.
John, this guy, Seltzer overcomplicates it here. It's so hard to change.
You're overcomplicating it. I'm trying to keep it simple.
Exactly.
That's the thing. Yeah.
Thank you, James.
I think having two leadoffs with different strengths and weaknesses. It makes us more versatile.
I agree.
And I do think that versatility can make you better. I think that it gives you more options. I think more options means that you're going to have more answers. More answers means you're better.
Like, yeah, I'm with John. I mean, basically, if you're just tuning in, this is me and John today versus James and Rhea. You tell us where you stand. Is this wise or unwise if they follow this course of Schwarber and Trey?
What about we're not overthinking it.
Well, what about the fact that it's complicating things in a way that makes it tough for other teams to get ready to play the
Phillies?
Well,
that's not true.
Yeah.
Really? Well, they know who's going to bat. Yeah. I mean, if you have a left-handed pitcher.
You got to consider.
You're facing the same hitters. It's not like facing an offense in the NFL or something like that.
All right, where do you stand? You like this? You not like it? We got 3 days, guys. 3 days to opening day, Thursday afternoon here on WIP. Let's get to Anthony right now. Anthony, good morning.
Hey, good morning, morning team. John, Joe, Sal, Saria, how you doing?
Great. What's up?
So, yeah, I love the idea of Trey at the top. I want to see him have a bombastic year and start building his Phillies legacy. I think having Trey at the top, you know, he starts to earn that paycheck that he's getting. And I'm totally fine with that. And I like.
Well, that's if he hit. That's if he hits and walks.
Sounds like you have a lot of confidence, Anthony.
I like
the idea that Topper's saying, hey, if he is leading off, it will affect the way that he approaches the approach. So he'll be more focused and dialed in, I guess, which I'm all for.
Yeah, but the two names that I need to see have phenomenal years to start building their foundation is going to be Boehm and Stott.
You know, I'm excited for Stott.
They're very important.
You're right. Massive sort of years that could go either way, it feels like. Stott last year, we didn't realize the issues he was struggling with. And I think we still don't realize the issues that Alec Boehm was struggling with at the end of last year.
And Anthony, here's an interesting thing on Stott. I mean, we've seen whole stretches of times where he hits fifth. Now it looks like he might hit eighth, which is quite a drop. I mean, look, he could be a damn good eight-hole hitter if he gets back on the horse.
It's a hell of an eight-hole hitter.
I think so, too.
Hey, I got a great vehicle for you.
Go for it.
All right. Where I'm going, we don't need roads. It's
got to
be the DeLorean.
Huge.
Yeah, it's a big answer, but it's not the right answer from that movie. It's just not. I mean, the end of the movie, yes, it's cool when he gets up in the sky. I'm not saying that's not cool, but I mean, it's just a far smaller deal than getting to 88 miles an hour and, like, you know, the clock tower and the whole deal. You got the wrong answer from the movie. I mean, come on. The very end of the movie?
Mm.
Come on. That ain't good. Eric Lindros, 88 miles an hour. Let's get it right.
I mean, that's a nice way to sort of put a bow on
it was the way
he's saying it.
Well, it also gave you the
visual.
We're going to have a Back to the Future too, which was nice for the audience. Like, oh, we got
a
sequel coming up. That part was good. 215-592-9494. All right, Fritz and I, we're gonna have some kind of battle coming up here. At least I hope we are. I want to set the stage for what I think we should do with that. We'll get to that coming up in 1 minute's time. 1 minute to that. Hey, it is obviously engagement season. And Family and Company Jewelers is where you should go. Guys, if you have picked out the gal of your dreams, well, I encourage you to pick out the ring of her dreams from Family and Company Jeweler. Get proposal ready during their Viraggio Bridal Show. It's coming up next month. April 17th, 18th, and 19th. They're bringing in all new inventory and brand new designs. This is your chance to save hundreds, maybe even thousands on the ring of her dreams. Head to Family Company Jewelers. They're right there, Route 70 in Marlton, New Jersey. Obviously, super easy access from South Jersey, but also very close to Philly. Right over the bridge, right, boom, to Marlton, New Jersey for the tremendous show up ahead, the Viraggio Bridal Show, April 17th, 18th, and 19th. This is at Family Company Jewelers. Junior, the entire squad, I, and wonderful people, true experts at what they do. Look, they know what you want. You want a great ring, and you want it at a good price. They will provide that for you, and they provide a lot of customer service in the process. So get yourself to Family and Company Jewelers. They are, as always, South Jersey's diamond destination. All right, John, so I was thinking over the weekend, the me versus Fritz thing, and I have some new thoughts on how we should do this athletic thing. Now, before we
I don't know that you can call it athletic.
It may not be. It may be.
That might be a little generous.
It may be like pathetic. I acknowledge that possibility.
Well, you said it.
I acknowledge that possibility. All right.
I don't think Jack's pathetic.
Well, he's no heart. We know that. His biggest problem isn't going to be skill. It's lack of heart. So,
what?
No, we know that.
Heart?
We know that. All right. So, I want to play the audio. I want to go back about a week ago. The audio that happened on our show, the audio that happened on their show, and then I'm going to give you some thoughts on how I think we should do this in the coming weeks and months. Let's listen to the exchange about a week ago. What is that nonsense?
He's a college athlete.
College athlete, my ass. What was he, D6?
You claim athlete status.
Well, I am an athlete. I just chose
and
not to
Fritz
play at a
can't.
Certain point. He can claim it.
Are you a better athlete than Jack Fritz?
Probably. I'd have to see him play
buddy.
More.
Here we go.
James, when you think?
No, I don't think.
Wait, you don't think I'm a better
athlete
than Fritz?
I'm not. Where Richie is saying Jack is some amazing athlete, but I think he's absolutely a better athlete
than
you.
What's he better at than me?
Do you think anyone
pitched in college.
Okay,
are you kidding?
Let's just say he may be a better baseball player, and I'm going to say maybe.
Are you kidding me? Definitely a better baseball player.
What else is he better at? He can't beat me in basketball.
I'm sure he
can beat me in tennis.
I'll bet everything I have that he beats you in basketball.
He can beat you in everything.
He's like a six handicap or an eight handicap as a golfer.
When you look at his body, does that look like athlete body?
Wow. Look at you. Who's talking right now?
Yeah, but look at that guy.
Oh.
He didn't let up.
He got a little testy.
Oh. Yeah, he didn't let up.
That went on for like 4 minutes.
Well, this has got to happen then.
Well, yeah. I mean, we got to figure out what the... Like,
are
we're
you
doing
willing
the,
to...
Sure, whatever, to appease his little nonsense.
Well, he actually threw out... he said baseball. He said
basketball. Tennis.
I cook him in basketball. There's just no...
Tennis?
Percent. Yeah, I'd beat him in tennis.
See, basketball, I feel like he would just want to have a shooting contest.
Again, that's not basketball.
Like the free throw contest.
Real one-on-one to 11.
Well,
11?
Well, 11. What do we have, 4 hours? How about 7?
I would score. Yeah. It would be 11.
Be out there all day waiting for y'all to get to 11.
We'd all just be waiting to leave.
That's not
be
true.
Like, okay, morning show's over. Gilo and Hugh have to talk about
11,
Jack and Joe.
11 to 3. That would be the final score.
Ooh.
Wow.
Maybe 3. I don't even know if it would be
so,
3.
This is
what about
moment-
tennis?
I cook him in tennis. No, I play
Look,
tennis growing
this
up.
Is a momentous occasion because we've taken a lot of shots in the morning show and they never fire back.
Yeah.
And this is the first time they fire back. Jack, I believe in you, but we need to make this happen.
I agree with Spike. We do need to make this happen. Ladies and gentlemen,
Jack,
good morning to you. All right.
He played tennis. Like, that's another thing. Like, this is something that you are proud of. You're saying, hey, I'll beat him in tennis.
I should be able to.
I don't know why you think that.
I think I'm pretty good in tennis. All right, so here's where I'm at.
He played tennis also.
Yeah, okay, well, good for him.
Like, I think maybe you had a chance if he never would have played in his whole life.
Well, you know who he never faced in tennis? He never faced...
Jack Hammer!
Yeah. All right, here are
He's a big dude to be playing
tennis.
Yeah, like, I mean tall, not heavy.
Rhea, don't you agree?
Look at this dude. What
reeks,
is he called?
But he reeks of no heart. Wouldn't you agree, Rhea?
I don't know. Low energy sometimes.
Low energy and limited heart.
I don't know about the heart thing. I do think that your biggest advantage is that you definitely will want it more.
Yeah, I'll be scrappy.
You will want it more. I will give you that.
I appreciate that.
Doesn't mean that you'll get it.
No, it doesn't.
It doesn't. For sure.
You can be pedestrian. You are pedestrian as an athlete.
Well, and my body it's not doing well these days. Like, my buddy says to me the other day, we're hanging out on Saturday. He turns to me at one point. This was the quote, you got to lose that gut. I'm like, dude, you're killing me. I mean, I'm just trying to hang out with you, and I get, quote, you got to lose that gut.
Right there, you
I know.
Yeah.
Well, I think he thought he was looking out for me. So here's the deal.
Yeah, I was being serious. Yeah. It's a real friend.
So
yeah.
I really am going to have to do some training. There's no question. I got to, because I don't want to pull the groin.
Do you actually think that you will do that?
Yes.
You have to stretch.
To James's point, I want to do this.
The competitiveness.
I want to win. I don't want to pull my groin and end up back with Dr. Myers again. Like, I don't want to have to get the surgery
again.
And
you actually think that you're capable of, like, making a workout regimen for yourself?
Yes.
And applying
the part's the problem. I can make the regimen. I struggle with the staying with it.
Yes.
All right, guys, here are my ideas. Here's what I propose. So we talked about this last week. I'll stand by it. I think 5 competitions. Something with baseball, we got to figure out, you know, that's not the easiest one to do because, you know, baseball has 18 players, but we'll figure out something. Basketball, obviously, game of 1-on-1, that's simple. Tennis, obviously, that's simple. Golf, obviously, that's simple. And some kind of running thing. I think they're the right 5. I think that's a nice eclectic blend.
I agree.
Right? I think here's what I propose. Because I do want to have a little bit of time to get in some shape. May-ish, June, like one a week, not five on one day.
Oh, you would die.
Like, I just don't think it'll be entertaining. You guys, by the last event, will just be cooked. Yeah, it won't even be worth it.
James, does the one a week work for you?
Yeah, I think one a week's good.
That way, people get a chance to react. Either I won or he won. People pile on. One of us. One of us feels great for a week.
Jack might quit after a week.
Might quit. About a week later, we got another one comes around.
We could call it like the weekly wuss off.
And I will say this. I think basketball should be last, and here's why. If we are 2-2. And we could be. I mean, look, I know most people think Fritz is going to win. I think I'm going to win. But let's just say it's 2-2. I would propose during the afternoon show a remote broadcast.
So what did you beat
where
them
the
in?
Audience could be there.
Oh, the tennis,
and
I guess?
and we have a one-on-one basketball game during their show. I think that would be really like,
that'd be
that's
amazing.
That's
especially
right...
when you're down 4-0 and you're just trying to save face. It'd
Listen,
be hilarious.
If that happens. And James, John, to answer your question, which do I think I have the best chance to win at?
Tennis, the sport that he plays.
I'd say tennis and basketball. And then I hope to steal golf. Like, I know he's a better golfer than me. I hope to steal it. And then he might get me in baseball.
Anything will be stealing.
He might get me in the running. Look, I'm not saying I'm expecting to go 5-0. I'm just saying I want to win at least three.
I think you take him in tennis.
I appreciate
basketball.
That.
I'm not worried about that.
And John, you don't think I would win.
You're going over.
Okay. All right. Well, look, we will ask you this Twitter poll question of the day. It's brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Spring into adventure in a new Armin Chevrolet. Available 2.9% financing for 72 months on new Silverados. Together, let's drive. ArminChevy.com. Poll question related to what we were just talking about. Who's a better athlete, me or Fritz? Get voting at Sports Radio WIP on Twitter. Second poll question, who should the NFL schedule versus the Eagles week one, that Thursday night that's going to start the season? Eagles as defending champs will obviously get that game at the link. Should it be against the Dallas Cowboys, the Detroit Lions, the Rams, or the Commanders? And the third poll question, do you like Rob Thompson's idea of using both Schwarber, he versus righties, and Trey, he versus lefties, to lead off this season? A, yes, B, no. Get voting on all of it and weigh in on the phone lines. 215-592-9494. Coming up shortly, we'll pay tribute to the great George Foreman as well, who, of course, passed away over the weekend. Let's get to Corey in Pottstown. Good morning, Corey.
3 days to the Phillies, baby.
3 days, Corey. 3 days.
3 days. Hey, let's talk real quick about the Trey and the Schwarber thing.
Yeah.
Hey, to me, it's simple. If Trey is not going to run, you might as well just keep Schwarber there.
Well, that's part of it. But, Corey, Trey hits lefties pretty good. I mean, even if he didn't run a ton, he's pretty effective against left-handed pitching. And so bat him more against them, right? I mean, doesn't that make sense?
So my point would be, if he hits lefties better, then why don't you put him in a position where a swing against a lefty, he can drive in runs instead of worrying about being the leadoff hitter?
Well, look, that's another possibility. I mean, I hear you. Look, we can go round and round on this.
All right, Corey. Really down about that one, though.
Corey, we can go round and round on this a million times. Give me your solution. You got three choices. Trey's the leadoff hitter. Schwarber's the
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Ugh, your clothes are too tight, yet you can't lose weight, even though you've tried so many diets. The reason you're having trouble losing weight could be a liver clogged with fat, and that is slowing your metabolism. Introducing Omicid, a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight, and it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Find out more and see the university studies at Omicid.com. That's Omicid.com.
Leadoff hitter, or you go back and forth depending on the opposing pitcher. What's your solution?
Schwarber's my leadoff hitter. That's where I'm going.
Okay. What do you got on the Eagles, Corey?
So I think the entire nation wants to see whether Detroit could have beat the Eagles or not. That's the game you're going to play. That's the game you should have. Opening night.
It is really intriguing because both teams would be healthy, and obviously Detroit's season, they really got derailed by injury. I mean, they really, their defense, and it showed versus Washington.
Decimated,
I mean,
yeah.
Crushed.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I kind of felt like a little bad for them. I'm going to be honest. I was looking forward to seeing the Eagles and Lions.
I really like the fact
I really
that
wanted
if we
to
play
see
that
game.
It's going to be here.
I know.
I like the fact that we'll have that home field most likely.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Eagles-Lions would be big.
I put it to you this way.
Yeah.
Now that we've won the Super Bowl, I definitely want to see Detroit. If we didn't win the Super Bowl, I wouldn't want Detroit.
All right, Corey, give me an answer, my man. Best scene ever in a movie or a show with a vehicle?
This makes me laugh so hard, and it's 40 years old. When the stewardess and the doctor come back into airplane, and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar is sick, and he's got his goggles and his jersey on.
Yeah, Kareem. Look, airplane, multiple answers from airplane, obviously. All right, a Kareem scene. Good deal right there. All right, let's get to Rob Thompson and some of the injuries. There was a few different transactions over the weekend involving the Phils. Again, season starts in 3 days, and unfortunately, Rangers not good to go, but Strom will be. Let's listen to the way Rob Thompson laid it out.
Give us the latest, if you can, on both Strom and Ranger.
We've made an announcement. Ranger will go on the IL to start the season. We don't expect him to be out very long. Maybe just a couple of starts, maybe three. We want to build him up. You know, he's kind of had a short spring. And we just want to build him up properly so that we don't have any of those back issues again. And Strom looks good. He's going to pitch for us tomorrow.
All right, so John, all things considered, not that bad. Because he doesn't think Ranger is going to be out that long.
Well, that's good. But, you know, my worry is that you're talking about building him up so you avoid the back issues. Well, you already ran into the back issues.
Yeah.
You know, like you didn't build him up the way that you needed to, and that's why he's got the back issues. That's not – I'm just concerned.
Of course.
A back is just – not easy to handle.
Totally.
And we've seen that it has affected Ranger previously.
Yeah.
I, you know, hope that they've mastered managing this in his previous season.
Let me ask you a question.
This year will be better.
Which concerns you more? Two different concepts, but they funnel into the same thing. Not having Ranger or having Taiwan.
Having Taiwan.
That's
yeah, I mean, like, I'd be cool if it was...
Oh, my God.
I'd be cool if it was just four.
Oh,
and
my
like,
Lord.
Ranger completely out of the picture. But as soon as you add Taiwan, in he's in the picture.
I can't believe they're back to Taiwan.
A 15 ERA. Yeah. I think of things just ballooning. I think of him giving us three innings and there's 10 runs on the board.
They're saying, based on off days to start the season, that Taiwan's first start would be game six. So, you know, just buckle up. Whoever's got tickets for game six, that'll be the third game of the first home series. Game six.
That'll go well.
It's brutal. By the way, James, who do the Phillies? I don't even know who the Phillies
Rockies,
play on Thursday.
So they open against the Nationals in Washington, then they come home and they play the Rockies over like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday for the first home series.
All right. Well, three days to the real deal, and obviously they come north. I think is that today or tomorrow?
Final game
today.
Yeah, tomorrow.
Final game today, and then they come north.
Guess who's pitching today?
Guess who's pitching today? Is it a regular starter?
He is now.
I'm guessing it's Taiwan, yeah.
Oh, for the love of God. All right, so Taiwan, at least early in the season, in the rotation, but hopefully bumped out of there real soon. Ranger Red, good luck, buddy. When I say we're all pulling for you, I mean we're all pulling for you. 215-592-9494. And also, lost in the shuffle of that conversation, good to hear Rob Thompson say Strom's going to be good. Because he and Hoffman were clearly their two best relievers last year for the bulk of the season, and we were a little worried about him. So knowing that he's likely to be ready to go for opening day is a good thing. Let's get to Ruth.
Especially because it feels like the bullpen
is not as good. Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I totally agree.
That is the thing that has been cleared out and not necessarily replenished.
I agree.
In any way as close to the way other areas
some replenishment,
of the team.
But not like Hoffman was. Phenomenal last year until he wasn't. I think the hope has got to be that, look, they're saying Alvarado maybe is looking better than he had.
Maybe. He's been unbelievable. Dude, Alvarado has been unreal this spring. Like,
a little
lights
more
out.
My eyes will start judging him in 3 days.
I agree. I'm not a spring training guy, but for what it's worth, he's been insane.
We have. We've seen it before.
We've seen him flash amazing excellence.
And then
beyond.
Not. Yeah. And then not.
And
so,
then he can't throw a strike for 2 months.
So just for what it's worth, this spring, 9 innings pitched, 20 strikeouts, 6 base runners. Pretty good.
That's really good. All right, 215-592-9494. And also, are you digging this NCAA tournament or not? I really struggled with it big time over the weekend. All right, let's go to, it's just going to Ruth, and she just hung up. All right, let's go to JB right now in Chestnut Hill. JB, good morning.
Good morning, Joe. Good morning, John. Good morning, Rhea.
What's up, JB?
By the way, JB, Ruth hanging up because she might be listening to our show right now. I think never before has someone hung up less than half a second before. I mean, literally. Ruth! You were like less than a second away from being on the air. But anyway, good morning, JB.
I just got a bad connection. Good morning. I like to weigh on this this little competition with you and Mr. Fritz.
Yeah.
I think your mindset is smart to hold off on basketball because he should. I mean, I think the basketball, pure size one-on-one, you're not going to get outside on him.
Well, I also need the most time for that to get in shape. Like, that's like I can go golf earlier without being in shape.
Why do you think that you'll actually be in shape?
Well, give me 2 to 3 months. I mean, I can crank
round,
it up.
Round is a shape.
And by the way, I don't need. It's not going to be a game
round
to 100.
Round is a shape is
I mean,
good.
We're talking about to 11. Like, I don't need to be in, you know, game 7 of the NBA final shape. I just need to be in, you know, beat a guy with no heart
game
shape.
Game 7?
Yeah. I mean, that's all. JB, wouldn't you acknowledge, doesn't Fritz strike you as a limited heart kind of guy? Yes, the answer is yes.
I think he's yours isn't really encouraging
so do
me.
You.
Like the,
no, I
like
got
the
heart. I just don't have cardiovascular endurance and perhaps not much skill at this
point
either.
You know how fast heart goes when you're tired?
Yeah but there's two different types of heart. There's the cardio heart, but then there's the dig down heart.
Tired
you got
tired.
The dig down stuff?
I have the dog mentality.
Fatigue makes cowards of us all.
That's exactly
that.
Right, JB. And no matter how in shape Joe thinks he is, it's not going to be enough.
All right, JB, Phillies, who should lead off, buddy?
I think it's going to be Schwarber. I think hopefully they're going to toy with it with a little bit of Turner back and forth. But I'm offering to host you guys for your golf outing because I've golfed with Fritz before at my place.
Okay.
So I'm more than happy, and we can throw Ike and John together in a foursome, and you can grab another. We can you know, James,
well, I appreciate
or
that.
One of the girls, and we can watch this debacle live if you want.
One of the girls.
So let me just ask you this, JB, because I've not seen him golf. Is he
girls.
Good? Is he good?
He plays from the tips, so I don't know if you can do that. I play with him, so he can hit the ball pretty well. But golf's one of those games where all you got to do is catch a couple strokes somewhere. You're going to get in someone's head. He's going to be pressing because he's like, how is this, like, half a human beating me because I can drive the ball 280. He can drive it 180. That's how you win in golf. And then you just drive for show and you putt for dough.
Okay. JB, I like your style. Look, we'll figure out where it's going to be. I appreciate the offer. Give me a great scene with a vehicle.
How about actually the opening of Kit, because it was originally named Tat. It was actually supposed to be Trans Am 2000, but they changed it to Kit after the industry of the company.
So you're saying the Knight Rider, like,
the
opening
vehicle. Yep.
Knight Rider opening scene. Okay. I mean, opening to the show. Not bad. I mean, it was every week.
I love that show.
Yeah.
I love that show. I also love that he called to sort of inform us on you to some degree and this Jack thing. And Jack is hitting it from the pro tees. And
yeah, I don't do that at all. Because that would add multiple strokes to my game, and I don't have the patience or the interest in that. That's impressive. If he
and
plays,
he's saying he drives it 280, well, that's and you drive it 180.
I find that hard to believe. I don't care how big he is. I find it hard to believe that he can hit the ball 280. I mean, well, with consistency. Let's put it that would shock.
Well,
me.
A guy who
was
plays
he freaking John
him
Daly
just told us on, that he plays that he drives it.
Yeah,
280.
But you know he's probably errant, going left and right in the trees and all that. I can just tell with that guy. Let's get to Big V in Mount Laurel.
Keep hoping. Keep pretending.
What up, Big V?
Yo,
how are you, pal?
What's going on?
Quite a bit,
John,
quite a bit.
Hey, guys, how you doing this morning?
Super, Big V.
All right, let it begin. All right, listen, I think that you and Jack Fritz, that would be a great, great fundraiser. I mean, you can get people in it. You guys do like seven different sports. And that could rack up a lot of money for a good charity.
Good point.
We could do that.
Yeah, but let's see. Let's go on the Phillies thing. I think that it doesn't matter who leads off. I think it's putting the Phillies in the best position to win.
Well, it does matter, but I'll say this. What matters more is that whoever hits one, whoever hits two, they hit effectively. They walk. They take pitches. They don't chase garbage in the dirt. Like, that matters more, but who leads off does matter, Big V. It's not a non-issue.
I think it matters more to you than it would matter to Topper and the athletes because they seem to be okay with it.
It matters to the players.
Yeah, it does. And
100%.
Big V, think of it this way, man. They're 3 days away, and the manager still has not announced and perhaps has not even made the decision on what his strategy is going to be. I mean, that's pretty incredible, 3 days to go.
Yeah, it is. But I'm going to – well, I mean, we've got, you know, a basketball manager who tells us if we squint really hard, we could see the Sixers in the playoffs.
Yeah, well, yeah, I don't think it was even playoffs. He was saying championship, and that was about a month ago. Holy mackerel. Maybe a month and a half. All right, Big V, give me a great answer. A scene with a vehicle.
Popeye Doyle, the chase scene where he's chasing a subway.
Oh, yeah, I mean, French Connection.
You got it, man.
Train.
All right, man. French Connection, indeed. 215-592-9494. All right. George Foreman. So that was really sad to see over the weekend. Wasn't really that old. I think he was 71.
Yeah, 76, maybe.
Oh, was he up there? Okay, well, that's
but
a little.
But still, I mean,
78. 76
oh, okay.
or 78. He was somewhere in that range, yeah.
Anyway, look.
He was a boxer. Was, so,
yeah. Listen, this guy, first off, he accomplished something. I'm going to go to the end. He accomplished something that's really rare in America. Everybody loved him. I'm talking the last 30 years.
And I didn't love him in the beginning.
No, I know. I'm going to get to that. Like, he was in the Betty White category.
Yep.
He was in that category that, like, everybody loved him. So first off, that's hard to achieve. Now, the journey, unbelievable. Unbelievable. I mean, wins the Olympics. He's the big bad guy. You know, like, everyone thought he was mean.
He really was the
right?
big bad guy.
I know.
Like, he was mean.
I was young. I mean, I wasn't even born. But, I mean, I've gotten the sense through the years that the Foreman thing.
Yeah.
And the transformation, and then ultimately to win it all, years later. I mean, so many years. All right, let's listen. Let's chronicle with three of the biggest moments of his life. The George Foreman thing. We haven't even gotten to the grill. But Foreman was a big deal in America. And it's important that we honor him here today because he entertained us. And he seemed like a great guy.
Oh, yeah.
Let's go back. And, hey, not my style. Not my style, John, to play audio of Joe Frazier getting knocked down. Because we love smoking Joe. But obviously in the early 70s, when Foreman knocked Frazier down, by the way, I think he knocked him down like five or six times in like two rounds.
Could have been stopped, probably.
Iconic call by Howard Cosell. Let's listen to one of those times. Foreman knocked down Frazier.
And we'll find out tonight just how good George Foreman is in punching and in taking a punch. I think he hurt Joe Frazier. I think Joe is hurt.
Frazier's hurt.
Angie Dundee, Ali's trainer right next to me, is saying it. You may hear him. Down goes Frazier. Down goes Frazier. Down goes Frazier. The heavyweight champion is taking the mandatory eight count. And Foreman is as poised as can be in a neutral corner.
All right, so Foreman just rips him apart.
What
just
a call that
it's
is.
An incredible call. It's just an incredible
call. I'm not one to assess that sort of thing. Was, but that really is great.
So Foreman's like the guy, right? He's the champ, the whole deal. And then Ali wants the belt back. So now you got Ali and Foreman. Now, this is one of the all-time fights also. The call's not quite as good, but it was a stunner because, you know, Ali was older. He's, you know, not fighting that well for most of the fight. It's the whole rope-a-dope thing, so he's just getting slugged. But Ali, I believe, in the eighth round, turns it around on Foreman. And by the way, this completely changed Foreman's life in many ways in a bad way for a long time. Here is Foreman losing to Ali.
Ali, a sneaky right hand. Another sneaky right hand. This time he works over the shoulder of Foreman.
Crowd's going wild.
3, 4, 5, 6. Foreman gets up to the knee. 8. That's it. The fight is stopped. Muhammad Ali, a dramatic 8th round knockout. He knocks out George Foreman.
He's done it. Muhammad Ali has done it. Muhammad Ali has done it. The great man has done it.
All right, so Foreman's devastated, right? He loses the belt. He fights a couple more times, but then he retires. He retires. He's not even old at all. Steps away. And then, more than 10 years after that, but after a 10-year hiatus, and this is where it is so unique in sports history. This is so unbelievably unique. After 10 years out of the sport, he comes back at the age of 38. I remember these fights used to be on the USA Network.
Yep.
USA Network, you'd be like Foreman versus some random guy.
On the weekends, Fridays,
yeah, Friday
Saturdays,
nights. Yeah. So, like, he starts just piling up wins against guys you've never heard of. And then he's like sort of a contender. And he gets a shot versus Evander, but he loses.
But I didn't think it really felt that real at that point.
It seemed absurd.
Yeah.
I mean, now
George
he's like
Foreman.
He's now he's in his
40s. The size of the old George Foreman, and his style is different.
It's unbelievable.
But he's beating people.
All right. So you get to around the mid 90s. And he's been at it now for 7 years in the comeback. He's now 45 years old. 45! He lost to Ali like 20 years before that. He's 45. Let's listen. And this is, I think, one of the great feel-good moments in my lifetime in sports. When George Foreman reclaimed the belt, I thought this was one of the... And it was a great call by Jim Lampley. A great call. Listen to Foreman as he gets the belt back.
I have to give him all the credit in the world, but again, he's a 45-year-old man. And the young man's game. But look at that competitive spirit coming out now.
Straight right hand landing for Foreman. He's had a pretty good round here at number 10.
Again, Atlas didn't counter. Atlas, here we go again with the Atlas. Michael Moore is that.
Down goes Moore on a right hand. An unbelievably close in right hand shot.
4, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
It happened.
I can't believe it.
Both parts of that call are so good. Lampley's saying it happened. And Larry Merchant coming in saying, I can't believe it. It really was one of the great sports feel goods I've ever seen. So anyway, you know, look, we want to honor the great George Foreman today. The grill, the whole deal, you know, the whole deal.
But there was a transformation that occurred, not just like in his
there was.
Physical and boxing career, yeah. Going from like becoming a champion, like he as a person.
No question.
He was so kind and generous. Like the
he would
second
talk about
time
it. Yeah.
around, like it meant more to him. He valued the success, you know, the second time around, and it was just it truly was a feel good where he was giving back in a way that was unprecedented.
Look, it was one of the biggest transformations personality wise that I've ever seen in sports of anybody.
Yeah,
be like if Jalen Hurts became Charles Barkley funny.
Wow.
See what I just did right there?
That's not going to happen.
No. All right,
take a shot at Jalen.
Well, I'm just saying. All right, let's go to the phones. 215-592-9494.
An unfair expectation, by the way.
No, I'm just playing.
Why can't everyone be funny like Charles Barkley?
I'm just joking around. All right, the tournament. Are you digging it? The Phils, who should lead off? We'll get, if you missed it, what Rob Thompson said about the leadoff thing. If you want to comment on Foreman, we got a lot going on here today. Again, the Sixers and Flyers freaking stink. Here's the raw facts. The Flyers are 1-10 in their last 11. The Sixers are 3-19 in their last 22. 3-19. Yeah, it should be, but shouldn't really.
Let's get that 3 down. Let's keep that 3 at 3.
Oh, it's and James, when you see the games, the guys in there, who the hell are they? Yeah.
Like Quentin Grimes is like Quentin a star. It's incredibly. Like, what are we doing here? It's unbelievable.
I mean, efficient. It is just random name after random name.
It feels it really does it like does. Feel like the process again.
How good is Quentin Grimes?
I don't know.
Like,
probably
for
not
future
that,
purposes.
Probably not that good.
Is this guy really... Could he be a contributor on the team when it matters?
Someone else will pay him. I mean, he's gonna make some money off this.
James,
one way or the
is he
other.
Tony
yeah.
Roten?
Yeah, I think that's a good comp. Like right? He's Tony Roten-ish.
Someone has to score. Like an NBA team when they lose, they don't lose 110-40. Like you get up to 90 points, 95, 100. Someone gets points. Someone gets rebounds. Someone gets assists. I think he's just that guy. Let's go to the phones. Ed in Phoenixville right now. Ed, good morning.
Good morning, team. I can't believe this hasn't been mentioned yet, but I think you need to weave, kind of like in Billy Madison, a little cerebral portion to this event. Why not a beat the hammer segment in this contest?
No, this is just pure athleticism between me and Jack. I mean, obviously, his brain wouldn't have any chance against me, so I don't want to hold that against him. I mean, come on, guys. Who are we kidding?
Yeah, kind of the cold water that's pouring outside, like on my idea. All right, you know, yeah, you're going to get smoked, by the way, Joe. Sorry.
I like that lashing out, Ed.
Yeah, good. That was a clear lash out there.
Yeah.
You don't like my idea? Fine, you're going to lose.
Hey, I feel the same way, Ed. I really do.
You backed this big baby into a corner. But anyway, you know, I was waiting on hold. I kind of got stuck in this baseball reference vortex. It's really like one of my favorite sites. You can just sort of lose yourself in players and data and whatnot. And I stumbled on Juan Pierre's, you know, because he had a season with the Phillies. And I looked back at the seasons that he and Luis Castillo had with the Marlins in the early 2000s, where they were both hitting 300, stealing 40 to 60 bases. And I just had this vision. It probably won't come to fruition, but... You know, Stott's still 32 last season, something like that. Like, why not have him and – or Turner and Stott at the top just, you know, putting the ball in play? It's a vision because I don't have any evidence to
– Well, I got multiple reasons why I don't like it, Ed. First off, I'm not opposed to Stott moving up there at some point as he proves more.
Walking a lot this spring.
He's got to prove more for me before I hand it to him. Like, here's what we know for sure. Harper and Schwarber – last year, and historically, have been better left-handed hitters than Bryson Stott. So if I have him up there before them, now I'm batting them too low. I got to get Harper up there a lot. I don't want Schwarber hitting like 5 or 6 if I'm separating lefties and righties and lefties and righties. So I'm not opposed to it as time moves on, but I'm not there yet. Not until Bryson Stott proves more.
Well, one of the key things with Castillo and Pierre was they struck out probably 50 times apiece a season. So they were putting the ball in play constantly, and that's sort of the rub here with this idea. But, you know, it was a vision. It wasn't a prediction.
I get it. I get it. Look, I don't think Preston Stott's going to be hitting eighth his whole career. I think he will be at some point up there, but not yet. All right, Ed, what do you got on the tournament?
Oh, when did teams stop learning how – like, the shooting has been absolutely horrendous. You know, I was watching the beginning of the Michigan State game yesterday, and they just couldn't buy a basket. And if you really want a true white-knuckling experience, take the over in any of these games and just watch teams like go 24-20 in the first half. It's really tough to watch at times.
Wow.
Okay. That kid on St. John's just had the most brutal. I mean, I felt bad for him. Lewis, I think his name was
Jr. He
was
the player of the year in the Big East.
Wow.
And then Pitino benched him.
And Lapis was amazing. Yeah. Lapis was like, I don't care if he's shooting over 30. I'd have him out there. And I'm like, well, Lapis I find very entertaining.
But he's a great announcer.
He really is. But that was.
Yeah,
that,
I think he was 3-17 is what I think. It was either that or 3-19.
Like Ed, layups.
Ed, give me an answer. Great scene with a vehicle.
How about Ace Ventura driving around with his head out the driver's side window, windshield smashed up?
That is so good, man.
Have you ever had to do that?
100%.
I had to drive one time. We were out in Bala Cynwyd at the studios, and I had to get on the drive. It was snowing so hard, and my windshield, and I was literally, my arm was frozen by the time I got to work.
I get it. My thing, and James, I think I've told you guys this before, during that Snow Bowl game in 2013.
Oh, yeah.
Me and Trot were going to my apartment to go watch the game. I'm in one car. He's following me in the other car. I couldn't see, and I had to put my head out the window. And he couldn't, like, when we got into my apartment, he always just cracking up because my head was out the window the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
It's absurd.
Yeah, with snow and ice, that's happened many, many times. I mean, for short periods.
Well, normally you can wipe it away and all that, but like my defroster must not have been working well. I mean, look, it was
sometimes
coming down pretty.
You just got to get where you got to go, and you don't have time to sit there and wait for the ice to melt. And
well, that's scary,
and
man.
Chunk it off
when you can't see. That is scary. The other one is sun glare, man. Sun glare sometimes can be very dangerous. I mean, when you like round a corner and then bang, there's the sun.
I'm telling you, not good, man. It is. Very difficult. That's the worst part about driving from here across the country. For the last 3 hours of every day, you are staring directly into it. Wow. I mean, you're going west, and it's right in the middle of your frame of reference.
Boy,
the
oh
sun. But you, and what are you supposed to do?
Yeah, drive at night.
I know.
No, that's I got gotcha. It.
StreetEasy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. but that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
March Madness is here, and if you want to enhance the experience, join me, Gary Parrish, and my colleague Matt Norlander on the ION College Basketball Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. We have new episodes at least 3 times a week and at the end of every night of the NCAA tournament. So before you go to bed, hang with us or know we'll be there when you awake. We'll break down games, make picks against the spread. Most of all, we'll have a blast. So join us on the ION College Basketball Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.